Hello, and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yep, that is definitely Adventure Time with an Adult Swim watermark in the background. My oh my, how the times change. And with me, I had
a joke where they got lost on the way to Atlanta, just like the Rams offense. Fox!
And...
there's a thing called alcoholic sparkling water. Y'all just make up anything now, do you?
Well, I mean, it depends. What kind of alcohol is it? Like, you know, knowing that sparkling water is a white people thing, it's probably like PBR.
It's just that, don't water alcohol, you should dilute the alcohol and shit like that, or...
I mean, I think that's the idea. Like, if you, like, drink whiskey and bourbon at the same time, it kind of waters it out. Or you still get drunk. I don't know. They said something about it on BoJack, but I don't remember right now. But, yeah. Alcoholic sparkling water. What won't white people drink? I mean, besides, you know, probably Crippa-Cola.
I seem to watch that.
Ah, come on, man. Yeah, I'm sure you got one buddy whose Netflix you can leech off of.
I'm working on it. Just so much shit been happening.
Yeah, so much shit. Anyway, episode 116. How about that bullshit Super Bowl?
Allow me to take the charge for our rumblings and grumblings over... Okay. To quote one Dewey, I expected nothing. And I'm still let down.
Yep.
Okay. It's bad enough that the game was... okay, I'll say it was kind of exciting in the first half because it was a tight defensive race. But in the second half, it just crapped the bed.
Yeah, like, I don't even pay much attention to sports, but, like, what the fuck out of a final score is that for the biggest football game of the year?
Yeah.
13-3?
Lame.
Boring.
And then we had the halftime show, which yeah, if you couldn't figure it out, who the fuck wanted Maroon 5 except, you know, Pepsi?
And it wasn't just that. It wasn't enough to shaft us with, like, the fucking vanilla mayo jar that is Adam Levine, who I still have the displeasure of knowing is a real person. But they did our boy SpongeBob so dirty.
Yeah.
Just
they
fuck.
Gave us a Flash animated brief clip. Reanimated in Flash, I mean. You know the one. Only they played just the fanfare. And, well, I figured they were going to find a way to shoehorn in sicko mode. I didn't think it was going to be that lazy.
Yeah. In other words, it turned to... well, what was they trying to speak Vicko mode? But nah, I didn't hear no speak Vicko. At first, I thought, damn, they're gonna do
yeah.
it. Like, nah, they ain't doing it.
We'll yeah, say, at least, I guess they didn't. I was just gonna say, I guess they didn't know that Travis Scott wasn't going to, you know, do the honors and self-censor himself because he got bleeped out a couple times.
Yep.
At least Big Boy showing up in a Cadillac was fun, except there was the Andre 3000, as per usual.
Yeah.
He still got more charisma than at fucking, you know, Mr. Snowman with tattoos.
Yeah, but there was one more atrocity on Sunday. 21 Savage got arrested by ICE. What the fuck?
ICE.
That worked me out.
But
like,
that's
what
a given.
The hell? What the hell? Anton, like, he's from the UK? And...
yeah, like, turns out 21 Savage is everyone's favorite grime rapper.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I wanted to talk about it in more detail, but right now there's just so much information flinging from across all different ends that, like, oh, he overstayed on a visa when he was 12, or, like, he was working on, you know, legal citizenship, like, as, like, recently as 2017. Which, by the way, just to comment on that first point, if he overstayed in 2006, why the fuck was ICE going after him now? They were a thing back then, yeah, like, too, you know.
Well, I think you've just answered your own question there.
Yeah, because, you know, he had that, you know, talk show performance recently where he did, in fact, call out the fucking concentration camps and shit. Huh, what a convenience. ICE only gives a shit when you bust their balls.
Fuckers.
There's some fuckery going on. Some pure
fuckery. So, yeah, you could probably expect some more in-depth stuff on that next week, probably, but...
Yeah.
Aside from all those Super Bowl frustrations, how is things go? Oh, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I want to add to this. When they play I Like the Way You Move, I hate the way Adam Levine tried to dance. It's like watching
your... Oh my God, yeah. He is...
This the most... That's the most...
Dances
mayonnaise...
Like...
Mayonnaise dance.
Such a fucking white person.
It's like, all I could think of was that one Vine, like, "Hi, I'm Sharon. I'm your new freestyle dance instructor." And then she just starts doing, like, Fortnite dances. I'm like, God, jeez.
Oh, God.
But and he didn't even play the guitar he had, except for that one very sloppy, possibly pre-recorded solo.
Yep, nothing else. What else were we expecting at this point? But anyway, aside from all that, how have things been going with the rest of y'all in the rest of the week?
Didn't do much. Had a good couple days off. Did my taxes, which I'm not going to disclose any numbers. You know where to find it. And as it turns out, I went to work today only to find out I didn't have to go to work today because they didn't tell me the schedule over the weekend.
So you're saying you actually weren't even supposed to come into work today?
Yeah, I'm not supposed to be there today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, as you can tell, I got a new mic. My new mic has arrived now.
Hooray!
And I'm making sure this thing won't crap out. Hopefully, it'll last more than 2 years.
Yeah, durable technology.
Yeah. Things are going good. I actually said on Twitter that, hey, I'm going to write an isekai story. That's all I'm saying for right now. More details to follow, like, later. Way later.
Just tell me it's not going to involve slavery or rape or any of the sort of online bullshit I'm seeing on TV.
Alex, do you think I would do
I just need
like
some
that?
Reassurance. Okay, I just need a little bit of reassurance because I can't trust anything anymore.
None of us can.
No, damn. Okay, you got a point there. Shit. But I assure you, there ain't gonna be no shit like that.
Good, thank you.
The last thing we need from our dear Mac is discourse.
Of the highest caliber.
Anyway, as for me, well, I also did my taxes, and I won't disclose the information, but suffice it to say, I am pleased. Also, I played another show this past Saturday. It was a pretty big one, you know, opening up for Deicide, one of the biggest death metal bands, you know, of all time. Shit, even, like, us as the very opening act, we still had, like, a packed set, and things just only got more packed from there in the venue. Shit, things were so chaotic, I even heard that a homeless guy got stabbed outside.
What the fuck?
I have no other comment. Also, yeah. I decided to use Super Bowl Sunday to flex my culinary skills. Turns out I can make some pretty decent oven-baked chicken wings, as well as, you know, from-scratch buffalo sauce and from-scratch queso dip.
Oh, nice. Good.
I did not have my snack foods from scratch. They were frozen, except for the nachos. Those were... compiled with fresh materials.
Very nice. Yeah, we just ended up using like whatever bags of Tostitos or Totinos. What's the brand of chips again? I kind of forget. Like the ones that come
Tostitos.
With like, the scoop shake.
Tostitos.
Yeah, that's the Eidos. There's too many Eidos chips. And yeah, aside from that, just more Kingdom Hearts. Finally finished my Code Lyoko binge, and probably gonna, you know, take some time before I try to binge that fifth season that I heard exists for some reason. But that's neither here nor there. Although I may bring it up in the album roundup but through very specific means. But anyway, time to move on from all of that to, of course, our usual business. And this week is one of those weeks where it's songs only, hence that very long opening pre-ramble. So, of course, remember to check the playlist down below for all the songs we're going to be talking about here so you can follow along and understand what it is what we're talking about in the greatest of details. And since we groused about the Super Bowl, it only makes sense that we start off with a couple of new jams from Mr. Big Boy himself. The first one of these is a track called Doing It. And you could probably figure what it's about from there, but you probably wouldn't figure that from the beat. It's kind of got like this almost kind of quaint, corny, like... like, I want to say, like, 80s TV sitcom theme piano intro, you know, kind of mixed over top some trap beats here and there. And, of course, you know, he's rapping about, you know, slinging dope, doing it with a significant other and all that shit, or just whoever he's hooked up with, which I'll admit is kind of weird to hear considering that the music video has a lot of him playing with puppies. I think they might be pug puppies.
Wait, is a video for this?
It's kind of, you know, disorienting imagery there.
Wait, there's a video for this? I thought it was just that video where... the glitching screen, or was that for the video? I don't know. The song.
Well, I found one when I was searching.
Okay. Hey. But yeah. Some sort of dope. It does get taken on that. I want to say it is for that sitcom. I will say more like ragtime style. I mean, depending on the piano, because I feel it's like that. But yeah, it's pretty okay joint from Big Boy. And I hear from Sleepy Brown as well. These are good, vocalists that been with them, been back in the day.
Yep. And now, of course, for the other one, Return of the Dope Boy. Get it? Big Boy? Dope Boy? And this one features backup from Backbone and a man who probably should have been playing the Super Bowl halftime show this year, Killer Mike.
Well, and to be fair... he got a much better gig in front of a much better crowd opening for Foo Fighters the night before with Run the Jewels, so, you know, take what you get.
Okay, fair is fair, better. You know, that's a more dignified gig. But yeah, you know, this one is more like, you know, a traditional, like, sort of banger-ass sort of track, although the actual beat kind of sounds like it was mixing trap beats with, like, kind of a sports jingle-ish sort of thing. Very decidedly, like, mid-2000s and... you know, I kind of have to wonder who drinks Perignon with chicken wings. And what the hell do Italians have to do with blue cheese? Or is that like a reference to Eiffel 65? Get it? Because blue and they're cheesy.
Ha!
I don't have any other commentary on that.
Okay.
It is banger, though.
Okay, I ain't got much to say. Track's pretty good. Big Boy's pretty good. Killer Mike's good, and... I mean, I've never heard Backbone. Maybe. Okay, good too. But yeah. Track pretty solid.
Yes, it is. Anyway, let's move on from that to a group of lovely lads from the Down Under. Now, last we ever heard of the group King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, they were coming off of releasing 5 full-length albums in 2017. Yes, they somehow succeeded. I don't know how. I don't know what kind of magic fucking wizardry it takes to do that. But they did. Of course, naturally, it makes sense that they took 2018 off. But apparently, they're going to be doing some things in this year, 2019. Personally speaking, I think I would hope that they would be releasing a new album every month. But obviously, that did not happen because we're in February now. But that didn't stop them from releasing a new song this past week, a track called Cy Boogie, which, as the name implies, is kind of cybernetic sounding and kind of has a boogie vibe to it. Seriously, it's like the vocals are synthesized AF. There's this kind of, you know, grooving, you know, boogie rhythm definitely built all around those synths and shit, and pretty much sounds like kind of like Dark Side of the Moon by way of like Edgar Winter with all of those buzzy, honky keyboards and shit and the big breaks where there's just kind of like, you know, kind of like empty drone with just like the vocals and synths going on. It is definitely something that you vibe to as you're under the influence of many hallucinogenic substances. I approve.
Yeah, I kind of like it too, especially the combination of the 70s rock and a little bit of the 80s electronic in there with all the you know, heavy vocoder and synthesizer elements going on. But this sounds like something I'd hear in a bad sci-fi movie that Mike Nelson and the bots would riff on the Mystery Science Theater.
There, and that's a good thing. Glad it don't look stupid in this. always got to work in a quote there. Anyway, moving on from that to another one-off track we got here. This from rapper Rico Nasty, you know, a.k.a. the good version of insert either Cardi B or Nicki Minaj here. Sorry, I just have to throw that shade there, because she is so much better than those two at the whole, like, fucking bad bitch shtick. It's not even funny. Well, okay, maybe it's a little funny at the expense of Minaj failing, but yeah, her new one-off single is called Roof, of course, and it's, you know, traditional, you know, brag rap, fucking stunting all these people who think they can step up to her and shit, and it's kind of hard to deny, like, you know, when you think about, like, this kind of song, like, the lyrics are pretty much, you know, what you would expect, like, you like to play hide-and-seek, I can't wait to find you, but what sells it is just the pure, like, growling snarl of her voice, like, she is fucking convincing as fuck in this kind of, you know, personality. She has it down so much more than Cardi B or Nicki does. I approve.
Okay, how about this? Okay, how about this song? She got a good phone on her, and the beat's pretty sick. And damn, the video is all over the place. Like, very, like, weird as imagery. Like, you see a booty catchet with people. I guess, are they fighting some shit? It's either that or you have to, I don't know, like, the desert or some shit. Like, there's all the imagery going around there.
Yes, it's very visually hectic, shall we say. I could say the same thing about another song coming up soon, but at least we got one more song to shield us from that. But anyway, moving on from that to another one-off track here, this one being a collaboration between Theophilus London and Tame Impala. It's called Whiplash, and it has nothing to do with the movie.
Okay, no, it's a one-off track, and I don't know much about Theophilus London making a few stuff, and okay, I've been into Tame Impala for some time now, because I like his style of music. This is pretty, you know, it's very funky, synthy, white. It has that groove that gets me into this music. Like, this is pretty damn good. I kind of want to listen more of like that guy feel for this London. And I know I said it wrong.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But yeah, it's definitely heavy on the synth and sounds like current era Tame Impala. Although with the particular saturation of it, it almost kind of sounds like a mashup of, like, Comp Trues and Washed Out, in my most humble of opinions.
Yes, this is some feel-good shit to listen to. Oh, at least some of them spoil it, and oh no, not you.
Yeah, we have to deal with this guy again. Get it! Mr. Lil Pump, who we all have our fingers crossed will once again lose the master recordings of Harvard Dropout before February 22nd. I choose to believe. But apparently we have another single from the album to deal with in the meantime. Another entry in the ever-so-illustrious rap canon of songs about racks called Racks on Racks. You know, because as we all remember, first Tyga built Rack City. And then, of course, there was YC back in 2011 rapping about Racks on Racks, you know, with Future tagging along for the ride as well. And now we got Lil Pump contributing to the Rackpocalypse, as you can tell by this video, because, like, you know, the song itself has nothing of value to talk about. Like, I'm honestly just putting here because, you know, I feel like making fun of him in the video. I don't even know what the fuck the idea here is. Like, it seems like it's the exact same kind of non-sequitur sensory overload as, like, the opening sequence to Pop Team Epic, but at least Pop Team Epic had actual funny jokes. What the fuck is any of this shit? Like, this fucking, like, you know, like, Team America filtered through SoundCloud bullshit. And then that one sequence that's really, like, subpar PS1 full motion animation that fucking, literally, like, it somehow looks worse than shit like Jumping Flash. And that was in 95. What the, Dear God, I'm pretty sure even Pixar's earliest shorts look better than this crap. Jesus.
And looking at the video, I know it's directed by the same somebody named Burfer. I recognize the name because the same guy directed the Travis Scott Kendrick Lamar song Goosebumps. But then again, that song was good. This is just, well, X that I don't care. And yeah.
None of us care. But hey, at least this bumps up our search engine optimization, don't it?
Oh god, these lyrics are disgusting.
Ugh. Well, I mean, yeah.
Have some decency, for fuck's sake, you fucking idiots.
Let Patricia, not with Rachel, Felsie with a Zan, Roku with Bankroll. 8 degrees, sitting on Gucci fur coat, busting her face as she called the facial. Okay. Yeah, you get that.
Speaking of, Tekashi 6ix9ine might be going to prison for 47 years.
That's
stupid idiot!
It won't come out until he's 69.
That is not nice. But what is nice is now that's what I call Music Volume 69. Thus giving us the official yearly Melon Shitpost review.
It was a masterpiece of Dadaism. It was essentially his rendition of 433.
Right, except I'm pretty sure it was like longer than that. Shitposting knows no bounds. But anyway, moving on from that to a song that at least has some dignity to it. So, the metalcore act While She Sleeps is gearing up to release their newest studio album, So What, on March 1st. And, of course, to honor the occasion, we have the latest single from the album, The Guilty Party. And, you know, I've realized something about the band, you know, having followed them since, like, 2013 or so, is that when the band is good, they're really good, but when they're, like, off, they just sound really awkward. And this song is kind of the best and the worst of both worlds. Like, the intro part, like, is super corny. It kind of gets into a solid riff eventually, even if it's undercut a bit by the bouncy new metal-ish drums and the whoa, you know, that kind of thing that you expect in every metalcore track. But then once it gets into the actual verse, you know, things pick up a little more, the riffs get a little more, like, you know, aggressive and gnarly, the drums get a little more, like, stomping and aggressive, and it's pretty, like, you know, it fucking bangs. I can, like, you know, just mosh in the pit with this shit. And then, of course, even more of the clean corniness comes through, like, with all the pre-choruses, and even, like, you know, the bridges and everything. Shit, even undercutting the breakdown near the end. It's just, like, it's kind of awkward to me, because, like, there are parts where the song just builds such this great, like, immediately satisfying momentum, and then the corny-ass clean shit just kind of makes it come to a dead stop. Why do I like this song so much more than I do?
Okay, I'm not as familiar with these guys, so this is just like a first-time-ever impression of what they have to offer. And aside from the kind of flat synthetic drums, it's an alright track that I can get into, but why do the harsh vocals sound like Caleb from Beartooth?
Ew.
Like, it has the exact same range and timbre, or it's weird.
Just to double check, Beartooth was the singer for Beartooth was one of the guys from Attack Attack, right?
That is the guy from Attack Attack, so yes.
Okay, because I know While She Sleeps started around the same time. Like, I think their debut was 2012, I want to say. Although I will say, for the record, if you're looking to get into them, I'll highly recommend their debut album. That's like one of the best metalcore releases of the decade, in my opinion. Yeah, I said it. Fight me, nerds!
Okay.
Anyway, moving on from all that to another track here. This one coming from everyone's favorite producer, certainly one of Mark's favorites at the very least, Kay Trinata, who is contributing to a compilation called Gangster Music Volume 1 from a project called Gangster Doodles that I think is mostly focused on like illustration work related to popular hip-hop artists and shit like that. I probably should have looked more into what the thing is. But yeah, that compilation thing is coming out March 1st as well. And, of course, the track here called Well, I Bet Ya is pretty straightforwardly Kay Trinata, which is to say it's pretty damn catchy two-minute groove. It's got, you know, soul, those twinkling vibes from, like, old soul and R&B samples and shit. This is the shit that, like, warms your soul up on the inside, man.
Yes, pretty much what he said. And even though I didn't tell him this earlier, the reason why I didn't, because I heard something before. Mick Jenkins rapped over this last year with the song "What Am I to Do." We covered it on the Clips Lux and the Social Goal. But yeah, oh, I still love this. Yeah. Yeah, but I still love instrumental. I still love listening to that shit. And I'm looking into like who's gonna be on there from, you said the contribution features stuff from Madlib, Crowley, Chris, Jeremiah J. Okay, I'm gonna check out this gangster music volume one. Oh, and according to Conquest of Sound says it's due on February 15th. He's just what I got.
Yeah, that's the thing. They say that there, but then I clicked on the actual Bandcamp link, and that says March 1st. I'm kind of going to have to take Bandcamp's word over it, I guess. Maybe that was a mistype on Consequences part. I don't know.
Oh, okay. I guess it must be that. I guess we'll wait and see. Still looking forward to that, though. And hopefully, and please catch it out. Please look through new albums soon. I mean, I know you did like an EP like a year, like a couple of months back, but I need more.
Keep in mind, the last time Catronauta released a proper studio album, it was within the first 12 to 13 episodes of this podcast. Or maybe it was before that, but it was certainly, we mentioned it 2016.
Yeah.
Remember, it was Mark's number one.
Yeah. He was number one!
And Adam Levine was not. Actually, you know what? Another SpongeBob quote for this. Am I really gonna defile this grave for money? Of course I am!
You use me for sicko mode!
Yes, yes. There's endless riff material we have here is the point. But time to segue to the next song here, because, you know, we can't get stuck on this forever. So, yeah, week after, on March 8th, of course, the newest album, Hexed, from Children of Bodom. And now we have the latest single from the album called This Road. And for the last track, which kind of had, like, a more basic kind of progression, this is the kind of track that never lets up on the brakes. Like, literally, throughout pretty much, like, half of its run, it's just this straight driving kind of thrashy triplet groove with those super chunky riffs, you know, dominating the beat and everything, with all those great little like noodly bits and note switch ups, and even kind of like those various harmonics, you know, that's the kind of hard hittingness I like to hear from my Bodom. It's aces, man. And of course, even when it gets into like, you know, more of a halftime-ish 4-4, you know, straight bridge, it's still, you know, pummeling along. And, you know, the synths overall provide, like, they're almost kind of in the background more so than anything. Obviously, there's the synth solo, but they kind of act more like just, like, this kind of, just this little sprinkle to the rest of the song. So, if this is a tease of, like, the heavier shit, then by all means, bring it the fuck on, yo.
Mm-hmm. You forgot to mention the best part of the song, though. The gallop riffs.
Yes! Galloping!
Yes. Yes, great way to kick off the song and the album. It's a very solid banger. It sounds a bit anthemic with its structure. Excellent work. I'm ready for that album.
That's the good shit. Anyway, moving on from that to another anticipated March release coming out March 29th. We have the debut album from up-and-coming singer Billie Eilish, simply titled, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? I assume when we fall asleep, we probably do like a dream dive and then go into one of several magical Disney worlds. At least I like to think it is. But anyway, we got another single from this album, the lead single, I think, called Bury a Friend. And yeah, this is certainly uncomfortable, although I assume that's by intention. It's just this low, pulsating electronic groove, kind of minimal clacking percussion. And the lyrical content is, of course, meant to put you at ease. Like, the atmosphere it's trying to create, you know, combined with, like, that really creepy music video. It's just all kinds of unnerving. So, hey, if uncomfortable is your thing, then this song is the one for you.
is uncomfortable, is nerving, is very weird, is very surrounding, and I really love this song. The more I get into it, it's like this sounds so damn good. This is like the more Fibber Billie Eilish, when I look into her Russ catalog, I'm thinking this. She's everything Halsey is not. That, and also she's more interesting as a performer. Yes, that's more interesting as a performer. It actually has alternative sounds. Not just dumb pop, not just pop shit thinking the alternative. But yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing this album when it comes out. March 29th. That's my mom's birthday.
So that should make it easy to remember. Unless you forget your mom's birthday. But why would you? Why would you do that to your mother, Mac?
I ain't forgetting. Also, there's a lot of shit coming out on that week of March. Motherfuckers coming out on that, at least on that week, at least last week. Either way, that's a lot of shit I want to buy during that week. I just need to make sure I get stuff for my mom as well. Say something for my mom's birthday as well.
Indeed. Anyway, moving on from that to stuff coming out in April. Looks like the guys over in, and let me make sure I'm pronouncing this right, because I'm pretty sure I'm not, Allegeon, or Allegeon, I'm not sure which.
Soft G,
all right. They're coming out with a new album April 19th called Apoptosis, and we have the lead-off single here, Stellar Tidal Disruption. Yes, you can tell. There's kind of like a sort of tech-deathy cosmic thing going on, like, you know, because they need to make it as subtle as possible, clearly. And yeah, this one, it comes out right out of the gate with those chugging guitar riffs and that 6-8 rhythm with the drums beating the toms and the double bass, aggressively as shit, blasting the beats, having tons of tremolos in the, you know, guitars, whether it be the low and chugging riffs or the more atmospheric highs, the cosmic synths that are like, you know, working their way in and out because, you know, this is all spacey tech death shit. It's like if Rings of Saturn wasn't crap. There is technically something of a 4-4 thing, you know, in the verses and stuff, you know, with the guitars working through their more melodic noodling as they balance that out with, you know, the hard lower end chugs. The chorus itself certainly tries to go for epic and grandiose. It's like, I mean, a lot of it is very technically impressive, but I'm not sure I feel much of anything while listening to it. Although, again, it's certainly better than other bands. Like, you know, I'd rather listen to this than Fallujah is what I'm saying. I mean, shit, even like that one like big echoing sort of pseudo ambient part where there's a lot of bellowing, you know, kind of like, you know, breathy bellowing, like universe, when things get ethereal, it sounds kind of average. I mean, good song overall, maybe I'm the wrong kind of person for it is the thing.
Yeah, I kind of dug this song. It's, to me, it's less tech death and more melodic death, because there is a big emphasis on melody with the dueling guitar parts and the whole song structure. Very good, very solid. I'll keep an ear out for more. It has all the bullet points of stuff I like in my metal.
Except for the saxophone.
Well, yeah. We could use a little bit more of that. Which, by the way, Rivers of Nile is going to be touring and playing that whole album with the live saxophonist, so... Yeah, I gotta find a way to get there.
Yeah, my buddy's band is opening for them too, so that's something I gotta keep an eye out on. Anyway, for the last song this week, it is the complete and total opposite of cosmic, you know, tech prog mellow death. This one being kind of poppy, indie, you know, danceable rock-ish sort of thing. This one comes courtesy of Cage the Elephant, who are dropping a new album, Social Cues, on April 19th. And I believe the last time we heard from them was getting nominated for a Grammy 2 years ago. I think it's the same year that there was a Panic at the Disco album. Ugh. But yeah, we have the lead-off single here, Ready to Let Go. And I'll give it this. At least as far as, you know, dancey, you know, kind of rock music made by white people, it certainly has more charisma than fucking Adam Levine and Maroon 5. At least there's, like, an actual fucking band here playing shit. Like, you know, these kind of buzzy slide guitar sort of thing. Light riff syncopation, this pretty steady, tightly maintained groove, it's, you know, overall it's got that very, you know, sort of dancey indie rock sort of thing. Although I think I might like it a little bit better than that Fools track we got last week, but that is just one man's opinion.
It's whatever, it's fine, but these guys are wearing skin-colored underwear in the video. No thank you.
Yeah, I thought we were supposed to save that for internet sketch comedy videos. Yeah. At least I think that's what they make them for. Whatever. But yeah, as you can tell, that's pretty much the last of the songs, and geez, this is probably as short as we've ever done.
Yep.
Even with that preamble. But aside from that, there's just the last bit of business to take care of here, and that is the new album releases for February 8th, 2019. And there's not a lot, but there are a few notable ones. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from metal act Downfall of Gaia with Ethic of Radical Finitude. Or Finitude, I assume. Of course, we have the much-anticipated new album from Health with Volume 4, Slaves of Fear. We got a new one from Shushu with Girl with Basket of Fruit. And last but certainly not least, the much-anticipated new album from Ariana Grande with Thank You Next. Which I assume is where all the attention is going to go to that weekend. Anyway, now I guess, yeah, I guess now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
The name, as always, is Aura of Azure. Even though sports shit posting is done for the foreseeable couple of weeks, Grammy shit posting is right around the corner.
Oh boy.
Mark, what about you?
As usual on Twitter, Matt2HavyMedia. And on my site, mindhaveone.wordpress.com, we Bearcaps this, damn, I fucked up, we Bearcap this is back, and I'm doing, and since they're airing episodes on February or Monday, you get some content. They're maybe dealing this week with guest star Estelle, or Estellar. Yeah, they do that.
Ha-ha! Puns. But anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab when you're notified whenever new stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezo, like us on Facebook, you know, visit us at SurrealResolution.com where you can find our written shit, podcast M&A, and of course this podcast too, because you need all that content in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you want to, you know, for the love of God, please don't post Kingdom Hearts spoilers, man. We're begging you. I'm still stuck on the frozen world. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. So, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you around next time for the album roundup and all that good shit. And so, until then, what the fuck even is a Tigtone?